to week 35, Loud and Obnoxious. Sorry for the last couple of weeks. We've been on sabbatical. Phil has been on tour, and Pierce is now pursuing other projects. So Phil and I are still holding it strong this week. We'll see how it goes. We may have to start finding a third, depending on how well we do this. But how are we this evening, Phil?
Well, for starters, feeling like myself again. It wasn't on tour. I went back fucking home to New Orleans. Greatest place on earth for jazz.
I apologize. You did not go on tour. I did a tour of
New Orleans, every fucking music venue there, and a lot of jazz fest, and a little too much partying.
Well, hopefully you were able to catch a little bit of sports while you were down there. I know the Pelicans were still in the playoffs when you left us.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the Zurich Classic was going on while
I went
down
to
there.
The Zurich. Yeah, I went to a day of the Zurich. My fucking phone decided to crash on me as I was watching the Pelicans game on watch ESPN app in the Uber to wherever I was going. My phone crept up for the goddamn weekend.
Dude, that sucks. And that's not the place. Like, New Orleans of all cities, especially if you're there for shows and the whole partying that ensues with the Jazz Fest and how it goes pretty much 24 hours, the rotation never stops with shows at tips and then you can end up at LBT's, and the next thing you know, you start back up at lunch out there at the fairgrounds again. It's a slippery slope, but to do it without a cell phone, I mean, I feel naked when it's on my charger, you know? So to think that I had to go through one of those events would be a nightmare.
I commandeered my girlfriend, and she wasn't too pleased.
She's got to take one for the team.
I need to get
yeah.
in touch with people in
That's
New
your hometown as yeah. well. So it's like you were made for that kind of party, but it seems New Orleans may have gotten the best of you this time.
It's different being a visitor in your own home, you know?
Yep.
I totally neglected my family because, like, I had just so many other things on the schedule. And
it wasn't really a family trip for you, though.
Nah.
So, and I'm sure if they know you by this point in your life, then they know that it's probably not a surprise to not see you, you know, maybe go out west and not call your grandmother for a Dick's run or something. So, you know, it could happen either way. So I'm sure there wasn't too much offense was taken. But I've tried to debrief you a little bit on what you missed and while you were gone. But I think you've been able to catch up with.
Yeah, I do a good bit of reading at work. But, yeah, I really didn't watch shit for sports while I was in New Orleans.
We're not going to do a 2-week catch up of all that shit. Everyone's already been watching that.
Nah.
What we're going to do is just provide quality takes. I think there was a little bit of relevant golf. We'll definitely dive into that. We're going to also talk a little bit of NHL playoffs. When we last left our listeners, we fucked up and pretty much counted the Caps for dead against the Blue Jackets. I mean, it's been that long that
they've been reveling in their misery at the time.
They were down 2-0 and then since the last time we all met, and then now they're up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So we'll start there. We reversed
Looking strong.
We jinxed ourselves. Phil.
I know. Comes with the territory. You mock someone, root against them, and then they're gonna burn you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we oftentimes talk about people that are on the list, and we never added Ovechkin, so it's not like we put the wrath of them.
I don't have any dislike for Ovechkin.
And folks keep saying to see the best scorer of this generation go and be able to play for a Stanley Cup, that would be interesting. But one thing I thought is always fun is kind of having that elusiveness of not being able to get it. So I've always, it's kind of like I didn't actively cheer against Sergio because he was a piece of shit human like Ian Poulter for my golf metaphor. I cheered against him because it kept being elusive. You know, he was unable to obtain it, so it became another storyline.
I was actually kind of that way with Phil before he got his first major. I was like, I liked kind of like Phil,
not quite there yet,
Phil, more than I like successful Phil.
Man, and I can remember a couple times. I think it was he lost to Payne Stewart in a and like maybe like a 1-2 punch at in the U.S. Open right before Payne died.
Yeah,
and everybody was like, "Man, this Phil, he just can't catch a break." And then it goes on for another 6 years after that, and now that U.S. Open still eludes him. You know? So.
Well, I would say that's. Ship has sailed.
No, I wouldn't say that.
He's so erratic. I mean, I don't think he can put together four good rounds anymore.
You know, if he keeps wearing stupid fucking shirts like he is out there on the course, people are going to be cheering against him. Like, and you can eventually start saying, if he continues to play poorly in these button-down shirts, then maybe you should just go back to, just go to the collared shirt, wear a cricket, you know, a stiff collared polo, and then just go out there and shoot a 64. We know it's in the bag.
They're just doing it. You're using him as a test dummy, like Tiger and Jason Day with those stupid fucking collarless shirts.
Well, I mean, Tiger wore the mock turtleneck years ago and raped the whole world with it.
Yeah.
I mean, so there are some.
I have one just like it.
See, yeah, I think you showed me the Masters one. And then you think about Phil wears pinstripes on the course, like when he was slimming down, going from bitch tits Phil to major winner Phil. Somewhere around that second green jacket, he was like, I got to start looking better. I'm going to play for the long term. So, but speaking of golf, and we're watching Tin Cup, and it's more fun than talking about anything else, so it's, I enjoy this. There was a story that broke today. Lucas Glover, past U.S. Open champion winner. And his wife got into it Saturday night. He was in the Players this weekend. He shot poorly on Saturday. And apparently his wife beat the shit out of him, or at least beat him to the and berated him, and was arrested for domestic violence. Something happened. There was an altercation with Lucas's mom as well. So when you look at this, and listeners, if you haven't seen it, I hope you have seen it. But if you haven't, Google Krista Glover, and that mugshot just screams crazy bitch.
Well, you mentioned that she roughs him up, like that you heard she roughs him up often after bad rounds. Like, is that something like that he asks her to do if he does poorly? Like, fucking tear into me, rough me up because I shot badly. Or is it just something that she's a fucking maniac?
That's when I read that. I wondered the same thing. I wonder if he's into kind of like that dominatrix. Like, she beats the shit out of him to get him going. And then this time it took it too far, maybe hit mom or something. What if it turns out that Lucas Glover is one of those guys that likes to get, like, fucking gag-balled and, like, fucking leather-helmeted. And that's what actually went awry was that her, I mean, because... I did some looking up, and his career earnings are roughly just north of $20 million. And if your wife threatens to leave you with the kids, I'm pretty sure that there's a strong argument that you're the stable one of the two if she, in fact, is beating the shit out of you on a regular basis.
Wait, leaving him and leave him with the kids, or she's taking the kids?
I think she meant it as take the kids, because I personally would think leaving you with the kids would be more punishment.
Well,
be like, good luck dealing with these four fucking kids. I'm going to go be a crazy bitch elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, that would just, like, not that she's probably not already certifiable, but that would absolutely make her certifiable. Like, nobody does that.
You're right, and that is true. That's never how, you know, usually it's like the dad walks out and leaves the mom and the kids at home. What if the crazy bitch wife who beats up on the husband who makes millions of dollars playing a professional sport and is in top... you know, 100 in the world.
Clearly she
is. And then she just beats his ass and rolls on him.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird.
All right. So I'll ask you, as we watch Tin Cup, would you rather have the career of Lucas Glover where you win the U.S. Open, but you have a crazy-ass wife, or get a second and end up getting to bang Rene Russo for the rest of your life? But you're going to end up, you'll probably do some, you know, smaller tour stuff, but. You'll never have that U.S. Open.
Well, let me put it to you this way. First of all, I mean, Rene Russo, bang Rene Russo. But
yes, 90s all, like, Rene Russo. You're not banging 2018 Rene.
Well, you know, probably so, actually.
You give her the wood?
Probably so.
Thomas Crown Affair, those nipples on that staircase. I mean, I can picture them in this movie right now. So it seems like we've turned a little Bill Simmons here going movies.
But Lucas Glover, like... I don't follow golf as closely as you, but I didn't know he was a major U.S. Open winner.
That's the only reason I know who he is. If he was just another journeyman, I would just remember him as world golfer 167.
Yeah.
But he's won it. That's that pen stroke. Shout out to our guys over there at Indigo Pro. If you want to sponsor this podcast, don't be shy to slide into our DMs. And for our listeners, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. That's at LNO Podcast. See that smooth segue I just did right there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's go from banging Rene Russo to talking a little bit of other banging sports. What's it called? The Cavs got drummed up pretty hard in game one. Game two starts here shortly. We're recording on this Tuesday. They're down to the Celtics 1-0 in the series after losing by 30. What happens to your bitch boy LeBron?
I think
You said he'd win the East.
For once in his life, I think what he's saying is, like, he's not full of shit. Like, I think, yeah, he couldn't care less about that loss. Like, it was feeling him out, you know? I'd be shocked if the Celtics win tonight, to be quite honest. I mean, like, I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think LeBron knows he can do what he wants when he wants, and he was just giving them a little confidence so he can crush them tonight.
So I do believe that you're right. I think LeBron wins game two. I could see the Celtics coming out, but it would be like a squeaker, you know, like win by one, maybe up three, two goes down, there was no foul, something crazy like that. Maybe, you know, you get the and one to push them over the edge and win by one. But LeBron definitely has the capabilities to do it, but he has to have 40 points and he needs old K-Love to actually show up. He's got to get some help out of somebody.
I mean, he could score 60, and if they're missing all the shots they missed, then, yeah, they're not going to win. But
I think you need someone.
That's an anomaly. Like, they may not shoot the lights out, but they're going to shoot better than they did last game.
You can't not.
Right.
That was terrible. They looked horrible. But the point is, like, if you need that second player, and I feel that LeBron had that second player. The year they won it all was with Kyrie when he was actually probably he could have won the MVP for that finals because he really was the reason. Like, he was that big shot in the fourth. He was he averaged 26 points, you know, for the series or something crazy like that. Sorry, I got the hiccups. But, like, he needs somebody to be at least a number two role.
Yeah.
And while it could be Kyle Korver one game, J.R. Smith one game, it could be anybody, but LeBron's got to get 40. He's got to have someone be 1B, and then the committee has to play by committee. So that's a tall order to play against a tough Brad Stevens team.
Brad Stevens is, wow, what a coach.
Someone posed a funny question online. So let's say you're redrafting the league, players and coaches included. After how many players would you draft Brad Stevens and Coach Popovich as your coach? Like, would you make them the 21st overall pick? Are they worthy of making that your first pick in a snake draft with 30 teams? How quickly can you pick that player?
That's tough. Because, I mean, like,
are there 30 players?
Popovich
better?
Is a coach who clearly does, like, a lot with not the best. Like, he can coach him up. So maybe you could sacrifice a pick early on, you know, and, you know, just get, you know, get him, coach him up.
Yeah. And so, like, I think the guys that were, I was listening to, it was like mixtape and things like that. I think they were saying, like, roughly around 22 players are worthy of being drafted ahead. Like, so, like, if you were doing it in a snake draft, you know, like for the NBA teams, then one of those teams roughly in the later rounds would opt for building their team around a Brad Stevens or a Popovich rather than – because you won't have the opportunity to pick your Durants or your Irvings and things like that, Kyrie's.
Well, yeah. I mean, because after the top 20 players in the NBA, there is, like, a pretty big drop-off, you know, as far as talent and ability.
Yeah, it's a big drop-off. And so, like, and you saw that with the Cavs running through Toronto. They fired the coach of the year because he just got fucking – I mean, LeBron owns them.
I mean, the Raptors are the Capitals of the NBA. Like,
they're almost like the Redskins. Like, they have, like, one or two, like, great players. Like, DeRozan's going to be top 10 player this year in the league, but he's going to fucking not amount to shit because he's just – I mean, same reason, I guess – The Thunder couldn't do shit with Ibaka. He's not a real piece.
Yeah.
And so relying on him to be something is obviously more hype.
It's just that, you know, the Cavs, you know, the Celtics played tough in the regular season. But, like, the elite teams know they don't have to try their hardest in the regular season. They can take games off, you know. And, like, the Warriors are class. I mean, they looked, like, way better than the Rockets last night.
Dude.
And they, like, took the regular season off.
They
still won 50-whatever games.
I mean, yeah, so they were easily the 2 seed, but they could have been the 3 seed. It wouldn't have been any different. They would have just rolled through the first 2 rounds, and they did. Last night, Klay Thompson and Durant is just unfucking believable.
Man, that dude was impressive last night.
And it seems like, I don't know if Chris Paul does just really suck ass in the playoffs, but he was on the bench, it felt like, in really key times.
I wasn't watching that closely, but I don't know. Chris Paul's great. It's not that Harden or Paul didn't do anything wrong in my like in my, from what I saw, it was just the Warriors are that fucking good.
Yeah, and I don't see. I think Cleveland wouldn't fare at all. Well, like it would be a sweep almost, maybe a 4-1 Golden State. Someone made a point today on sports radio. I listen to a lot of it. If it's not apparent that since Durant joined the Golden State Warriors, they haven't gone to 6 games in a series.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look like this one is either.
I mean, hasn't gone past 6 maybe?
I was actually of the opinion that the Rockets were going to hang and maybe win the series. But
I had Golden State in the over last night, and I ended up pushing on the over because of just, like, bullshit antics, you know, free throws. And when the games get out of reach, like 12 points with 3 minutes to go.
That's doable.
But once it gets to 2 minutes, then you're like, well, now I'm not going to be able to get that. Like the points I need, because if you miss the shots when you're trying to catch back up, then you're not going to be fouling as regularly to get the over under.
Right.
So it seems like those numbers have been awfully inflated tonight. I think sitting roughly around 204, 205. I don't think it hits. I don't think it hit last game. Actually,
the Cavs play atrocious defense.
Yeah, and it seems it's spread team wide. Yeah. I don't think anybody on that fucking team plays defense. And mind you, I don't even know the last team that put. It's like a D'Antonio team, a Mike D'Antoni team,
right?
Or is it
except D'Antoni?
D'Antonio is at Michigan State, allowing. what's it called? But it seems like that's kind of the thing. Obviously, it's a little bit different, but they're both. They do ISO, like, slow down the ball. They had, like, 7 fucking shots at the buzzer last night or didn't get a shot off in time before the shot clock went off. And it would always just be isolation between Harden or Paul and whoever they just traded off until they got Curry.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's not a way to beat him. You can't trade 2 for 3s a lot.
D'Antoni would have the 7 seconds or less philosophy.
And that may be the case. I was just thinking in the retrospect of how they'd never fucking play defense. It seems all of his son's teams, and I think he was on the Knicks. Or didn't he coach the Knicks for a little?
Coach the Knicks and the Lakers.
Yeah. And none of them played. They just never played defense. So it seems like that's also very apparent with those guys also.
Well, the Warriors can play fast and play defense.
But they have 3s. They call them
the Pelicans were playing that fastball,
but the overs were clearing very easily in y'all series. Not only the one y'all won, but even when y'all lost, y'all were keeping up with them. But I think let's talk about the Pelicans for a second, because these are your boys. We've talked about Cousins. You need a guard. Rondo and Drew Holiday are not the answer, despite how well they play.
Holiday, man, he impressed. I mean,
how long has he been in the league?
7-8 years.
I don't think he's the guard that's going to get you to the.
Dude, he had his.
But that's
he
not.
He played
like,
the best basketball of his career in the playoffs.
I agree with you, but that doesn't say much because he's had a shitty career. My thing is that Anthony Davis deserves a true number 2/ point guard, like a John Wall or a Bradley Beal. And since Washington and Toronto.
We definitely need a Bradley Beal type. I mean.
I think they
But we kind of. Well, Mark. Mirotic, he's you know a 3 or maybe a 4, but like
he's a big
fucking
boy.
Shoot,
he's a big boy. But nowadays, all the 4s can almost play defense.
But
and
he's
shoot.
A spot like he shoots from like Curry range.
That is true, and I mean he was a great pickup. But what I'm wondering is, sorry, we're eating Starburst. We're always smoking, drink, and do this podcast. what I was thinking is like. What if you traded your Mirotic's and your first for tonight's NBA draft to get – or lottery, whatever.
We don't have a first.
Oh, y'all don't?
No.
Oh, well, then you offer –
We traded it for Mirotic.
Well, then you offer up whatever you can to get maybe one of those guards from those teams like Washington or Toronto that have to blow up their programs because they are such shit face. Like, they are just such shit, like – programs like you have to start over. Not only does everybody hate each other in Washington, but Toronto's obviously not working, and it doesn't matter if Lowry and DeRozan love each other, still not working.
Nah, I think we need like a 2-guard. Well, we need more of a Bradley Beal than like a John Wall, because like I'm sorry, Drew can play the point. Okay, we can keep him as point. and then have like a shooter like Beal at 2 and Mira at ticket 3 and Boogie and Boogie, AD or vice versa at 4 and 5 or double whatever, another 4. I don't know. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I just feel like one of those guards. I feel Anthony Davis needs a real. And you can keep Drew Holiday for all I give a fuck. I feel he's more of a J.R. Smith than he will ever be a. Whatever a starter, like a true starting guard would be that. Like, you need that 1-2 punch. Like a Tony Parker was to Tim Duncan. You know,
Drew
like,
Holiday is way better than whoever you mentioned.
Don't do drugs, kids. You'll end up like us, watching Tin Cup, eating Skittles with podcast microphones. What's it called? Yeah, but that's what I was just saying. Like, they need a true, like, an helpful guard for y'all to be able to take that next step, which I do believe y'all do have the recipe for it. And in the West, I'm not sure how to be Golden State.
I mean,
that's
when,
great. No matter what we do,
we're not going to beat fucking Golden State. I mean, assuming they go on to win the championship, which everybody thinks they will be, I mean, like, they should be considered one of the great dynasties.
I'm sure when it's all said and done, they will be, but one of those things about it is you still have
like
to go out there and compete.
They could win 3 or 4 more straight.
I don't know if they'll all go straight. So one of the questions I wonder about is, like, let's think about the Celtics. Let's flip it on to the East for a second. Celtics, Cavs, right now, Cavs maybe lose LeBron at the end of the season. So it's going to be Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, and a team of rookie, youthful guys. I won't say all rookies. But you have a Rozier, you have a Jaylen Brown, you have Jason Tatum, who maybe is deserved of the Rookie of the Year when you look at the playoff performances included, because since Kyrie's gone down, these guys have all been stepping up. When everyone thought they'd be kind of like one series and dead, they go and run through everyone's favorite, you know, bandwagon of Philly.
Yeah.
So it seems like they almost have more pieces than they need, and then they have a pick tonight where they may get a draft pick in the top 3 if it.
What happens if they? I don't know. Do something fucking unbelievable. This is just theoretical. Go on, win the NBA championship with the squad they have on the floor now. What about trading Kyrie?
I don't think you trade Kyrie, but I wonder, that would be an interesting dynamic. I bet they're like, man, we're about to be fucking legit. But a lot of things would have to take place. And one of those things is called beating the Golden State.
Yeah, I mean.
You'd have to see, like, which guard goes off to see, like, who would be the most threatening. But at the same time, like, people are contract, you know, nightmares. And some have longer terms for less everything, so it could always work out. But so
whose pick do the Celtics have that's in the top?
So they have another Brooklyn pick, but there's some conditions with it, because they also, if it's number one, then somebody else gets it. Maybe Brooklyn if it's number one overall. If it's 2 or 3, Boston gets it. If it's 4 through 16, someone else gets it, because maybe the Lakers or somebody from a conditional pick that they traded with. And then if it's outside the lottery, I guess it would be, you know, 16 or whatever. So maybe it's through 14. Then they get the pick. So Boston still has a chance to get even deeper in that sentence, you know. Like, geez.
That's crazy. Danny Ainge is just crushing. Not to mention last year, like, everybody said Markel Fultz was the number one, you know, and, like, he traded back because he didn't like him and got the guy he wanted and got more.
Yeah, Danny Ainge looks like a genius time after time when you look at it, because, like, oftentimes people are like, well, this is going to be a nightmare. How are we going to get through this? And then Boston takes, like, a year of lumps. Yeah. They're like, oh, we're a 5 seed. Our life is tough. And then these fuckers come out on the other side of trading KG, Pierce, and let Ray Allen walk. And then they got rid of Rondo, too.
Yeah.
And they got rid of Kendrick Perkins. So, like, he got rid of everything. He won the championship, got rid of all the pieces, only has to respect KG and Pierce, really, because they went along with it. But you just highway rob Brooklyn, everything.
I know the trade was, like, 4 or 5 years ago. Like, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah. And now, like, you're seeing
paying for it.
Still paying, like, first round
draft.
They
must have been really confident that was going to work out. Like, oh, we're going to win championships. Who cares what our picks are?
So this is This is the conditional pick I forgot about. Something about, remember when Boston traded down to let Philly have Markelle Fultz last year?
Yeah,
and then they were going to take Jason Tatum one. They end up getting Jason Tatum at three. So I think that there's something with that bundled in with something of Brooklyn. I don't know. It's a clusterfuck when you look at how the NBA does their trades and drafting because there's only two rounds.
I don't quite agree with the lottery. I mean, I know you got to prevent tanking, but like the NFL, the worst fucking team gets the number one pick. Like, why wouldn't it be like that?
Okay, so this is let's see if we can fix basketball. We're really high and we have nowhere to go. So let's fix this sport. You have 6 to 8 teams every year trying to tank. It seems like that. Like literally this year, the Mavericks. The Kings sucked again. They may have been trying. De'Aaron Fox.
I think they're trying.
But they're semi-trying. They have kind of idiots in their front office.
They made a couple acquisitions in the offseason. Zach Randolph.
Yeah, these
are
all.
They retired his number instantly in Memphis.
Vince Carter. You know, they had some older guys come on to be seniors. Maybe trying to teach De'Aaron Fox more so than, expect a championship or win now. But you have like 10 teams tanking, so you have to find a way to fix the product. And so if you can't do relegation like they do in soccer, then you need to do something that's going to help. We're paying these guys fuck tons of money. Like Timothy Mozgov is always my example. The guy got paid so much money to be a Laker. It was embarrassing.
They dumped him though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
how do you get rid of
– You trade him.
Who's going to want to take on that salary? I mean,
someone
people
like
that
the Nets?
Desperate – Like
Cleveland Browns,
the Pelicans with that not only that Mirotić trade was not only great for Mirotić. Sorry, my apologies. We also dumped Omer Asik, who had a fucking Mozgov contract and sucked dick and was constantly hurt. So we're like, we're fucked, stuck with him.
Classic Derrick Rose type situation.
Well,
somebody's
no,
got to eat
dude,
a contract
this dude
somewhere.
Was, like, never even that good. I mean, he's a seven-footer. People fucking cum their pants for seven-footers.
I mean, we've seen so many of those fall. I think Greg Oden even feels like, I mean, every time you mention one, oh, we got puppy dogs galore in the studio. It's hard not to be happy when you see a bunch of puppy dogs. But, yeah, those big guys always seem to fall hard. So it makes you wonder if, like, the Kristaps Porzingis is going to work out well. And speaking of overpaid athletes, we can talk about Tim Hardaway getting $70 million to go to New York. Like, what the fuck? This is how I want to fix it. Let me tell you how this. I say you expand the court. You widen it by, like, 10 feet. Like, because half those guys can't get their fucking foot in between the three-point line and the baseline or, you know, the out-of-bounds line already.
Right.
And then you make it longer so that if LeBron wants to travel his happy ass down the court, then that motherfucker's got to run at least 15 more legs. Mm-hmm. What this is going to do is going to, like, cause more exhaustion, meaning you have to play more players on the bench. It'll water down the product, but then it'll become more of a team sport than a one-man sport. And then it creates an opportunity for the G League / the D League / whatever you want to call it. And if your teams are semi-good enough in the D League, which is just like, because there's only two rounds in the draft, so you're talking about 800 kids that probably could still play at a competitive level like Jeremy Lin was able to. Like you could find these kids in a G League or overseas, but they're going over there and playing for $100,000. You can pay that money. Well, you have the fucking sport of the future.
I mean, I'm probably going to disagree, but a good example is that 31-year-old that got called up to the Lakers this year and scored like 16.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can have a hot night, but yeah, he had like a whole lifetime of like playing in the minor league basketball, which pays like $19,000 in California. So he was like tutoring kids. Like that guy makes about as poor decisions as I do about life choices and getting further in life to the point of he's hanging on to a job that's $19,000 in a minor league contract.
For the love
of
the
game.
Dream. For the love of the game.
Yeah, but you better have a side gig like selling fucking real estate.
I'm sorry, no. Like, I don't agree with what you said. Like, the last thing we need is more players on the court or, like, whatever. Because after, like we just said, the top 20 is – you know,
well, then they're just mishmash.
Way better than the second tier. And then the second tier is way better than the third tier. So we don't need fourth tier players out there because they're garbage.
We're not even playing the third tier players. LeBron's playing 48 fucking minutes. Some of these teams like don't sub, but it's a 7-man rotation. You have 12, 13, 14. Do you have more players on a team or more clubs in a golf bag?
College basketball where like it's just brick after brick.
I don't think it would be brick after brick because you'd be able to spread the court more. You'd have more shots and penetration.
That, I mean, that's what the game is turning into, spreading the court.
Yeah, and let's make the court bigger so then it's a little bit more difficult.
I think, would you say 10 inches?
I want to put it like fucking 5 feet on either side.
5 feet. That's a little much, but maybe like a foot or two.
A foot on either side of the width and then 5 to 10 feet length. I want these guys running further.
You see how gassed some of these dudes are at the end games already?
That's what I'm saying. Play the other guys. You know, like, I want to see.
No, we want to see the best on the court and the most important times at their best.
I don't want to just watch the same two people play for 48 minutes.
I mean, as much as I hate LeBron, and I do enjoy seeing him fucking lose.
There's a reason Brian Scalabrine is famous. It's because, you know, he got a couple of minutes of action and made the most of it. You know,
true.
I want to see these guys. I mean, we're talking about guys that were great in college, and they just fade away because they're that white kid at the end of the fucking bench in Cleveland. And it turns out it's the kid from Brigham Young, you know, obviously.
Jimmer Fredette.
Or the kid from Gonzaga, you know, whomever.
Morrison
sucked. But, yeah, like St. Mary's has
It's just
like these kids should be able to get drafted and play. Give them a chance.
It's not that those guys can't play offense because they can. They just can't play defense. That's why they're not in the league.
I feel they can't play defense against a top five player, but they could if they were playing against other tier four players. And I'm not saying tier four is a bad player. That's a kid that was probably like a Michael Head or whatever his name was that was the point guard out of Illinois. Yeah, but Michael Head wasn't Deron Williams. So yeah.
I don't think his name's Michael Head for the record, but it's something.
For some reason, I thought that was it.
It's something similar to that, I think, but. That's not his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But it seems like those guys, there needs to be an opportunity to get more of these guys either in the league or on the court, and at worst, create a nice developmental league for them. It would improve the product on the court as well, because some of these guys that are coming into the league are just fucking busts, and you never hear from them again. But if we had a nice minor league system, Kwame Brown may still be alive today. I don't know if he's dead, but we know Lynn Baez isn't.
Just go look at every draft from the past 20 years. Like, it seems like maybe 8 players that are drafted in the first round actually make it worth a shit.
Like the guy that was drafted before Steph Curry was Jeremy Flynn. Do you remember him?
Out of Syracuse?
Yeah, little shooting guard, I think is what he was.
Yeah.
Where the fuck's that kid? He could literally have drowned in a pool by now. Wouldn't have a clue. Like, he just faded from existence. And I think Rubio was also in that class because they drafted both of them. And Rubio took a couple years to come over. And now he's shining for fucking Utah.
But he got hurt in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. See, so you weren't totally out of the
loop. I mean, I catch things here and there. Yeah, I did my best, mm-hmm. for sure. Well, let me ask you a question, two-pronged, kind of, and it's going to bring us into a new topic that I can't believe we haven't talked about, that everybody's fucking talking about.
Shoot.
You think with all with the sports gambling being legal that they'll televise more everything, you know, like the G League and shit like that?
Holy shit, I cannot believe we have not talked about this. This is a big day for those that weren't, I guess, following along. SCOTUS ruled in favor of the state of New Jersey.
That was yesterday, actually.
Yeah, yesterday. I apologize. In favor of New Jersey being able to police and regulate their own gaming system, a.k.a. being able to gamble in sports. So the Supreme Court ruled that it's in the state's rights to be able to determine that, and the federal legislation is not allowed to oversee that type of regulation. Mississippi, my home state, neighbor to yours, you probably know it fairly well.
Yeah.
It's also one of those states that is ready, like turnkey operation. They had already put state laws in place for this ruling. It's a great day for the sports gambling world. Obviously, I'm not going to get rid of my bookie, ever. But...
why?
But okay, I'll tell you that next. But it's a great day for sports gamblers because, like you just said, we're going to start talking lines, you know, like Brent Musburger may get a bunch of calls to come back to normal sports television. That guy is an avid gambler. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even really gamble that much, but like, I don't know. I mean, as take sports out of the equation, just it's a little concerning because like, I just feel like you're going to hear like the people that don't normally gamble are going to maybe, you know, take a chance since it's legal and easy to do.
So what we need to think about doing is applying for a permit to be a sports book, buy the machines offline, have them shipped in from Vegas, rent out a bar down on Market Street in Denver, and just go wall-to-wall televisions and just run a book, Phil.
Yeah.
Do you want to quit our fucking day jobs and just take those degenerates' money?
Yeah. I'd love to take people's money.
Yeah, it'd be a lot cooler to be on the other side. It'd be a whole lot cooler to be on the other side of the page.
But so, like, a lot of the talking heads were saying that this is going to, well, I think Mark Cuban said it would, like, double the value of sports franchises. I think that's obviously a little exaggerated. But do you think the guy that just bought the Panthers today got away with highway robbery then?
No, because he still paid an evaluation of a dying product. Obviously, it's a slow dying product in the NFL and like helmet on helmet collisions and things of that nature. That product's going to end up getting devalued. But one thing you've noticed is like this is going to increase the tick of sports that have 82 games, like hockey and basketball. Baseball's going to go up. And then one thing I saw online was the DraftKings CEO said that because of this expected result, they're expecting a 5 times the value of the evaluation of the company, because at times, you know, like certain states had made it illegal for people to get paid out, and if you are a resident in certain, you know, like that was an issue with DraftKings. So not only is that no longer going to be an issue until it's a state by state issue because they can be set up somewhere else, but at the same time you're talking about gamblers of all sorts are going to be coming around because you can bet. Let me bet inning by inning in a kiosk in a baseball game, everybody's going to have a higher attendance.
I've seen live sports betting, like you know, what's going to happen next on this play.
Yeah, somebody, you can do live betting online through a bookie. And I'll tell you why having a bookie is better and why I'll never get rid of a bookie. The bookie gives you a suitcase, and so you're not actually betting with your money, which obviously makes it very, very dangerous. But at the same time, for, let's say, the bigwigs, the guys that gamble heavy hammers, those guys also are, they're not accessible to 150K, but they have the credit line for it with their guy. Or, you know, certain folks, famous radio host and social media website, their owner bets like 10 to 50 grand a game. It's not like he's walking around with 100K in cash so he can bet the next 6 games. He just puts in a bet.
What about betting with your credit card?
Now, that's a fickle bitch, but at the same time, those online options are already there. If you were trying to do that, you could already do that. You can go to Five Dimes right now or Bodog.
Yeah, but I lived in Louisiana, which was one of those states where you can't get paid out.
Yeah, so one of the things actually that's interesting about that, speaking about the Mississippi and how New Jersey and other states are going to succeed off of this, y'all have actually already had this vote, and y'all have decided to not have sports gambling allowed, because technically you may have certain laws already in place in Louisiana to allow gambling. Like, I mean, you have casinos and shit like that, but I mean, those are some of the people that are going to make the most money in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, is those casinos are going to open up sports books and they're going to fucking rake on Saturdays and Sundays, especially in a heavily dominated area like Alabama, that Gulf Coast.
Well, all right. Let me ask you another question. Is Vegas fucked? Or are they not fucked, but I mean, they're not going to turn into Atlantic City or anything, but like.
No, because it's still not a card game or a dice game. So it's like, if you're a table games guy or a poker guy, or if you like to play craps or, I mean, any table game or slots, excuse me. And then Vegas does everything else in addition to. So it seems like, I mean, you'll probably be there. Fish announced their fall tour today. You'll probably be there for Halloween. So.
It's looking doubtful, actually.
Oh, I hate to hear that for you, Phil. You can't catch them all. So it's like Pokemon and Fish Tour for you.
No, I learned very well while at Jazz Fest that I just can't do everything. Can't do everything.
Man,
took me a long time to figure that out.
Hey, I think Roy McAvoy is about to make this fucking ball.
Legend.
He does. He just holds it.
Legend.
No one's going to remember who won the U.S. Open, but everyone's going to remember that 12, Roy.
Yeah.
And that's our shout out, and that may even be our closing point. We can't do it all, Phil, but we can do some things. Roy holes out on his last ball at the U.S. Open, gets to bang 90s Renee.
That's how you know a movie's so good. You don't even have to watch it with the volume on, and you can still get excited about it.
I mean, I'm kind of hard just thinking about banging maybe the stripper. Have you ever had a Latin lover? what's it called? But, yeah, I think we had a nice recap episode. The editing,
yeah,
for anybody that
back.
Made it this far, we do apologize. Kip did it tonight because Pierce is busy elsewhere, so Kip's giving it a whirl. Don't forget to go follow us online at LNO Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Rate, subscribe, and review.
Hashsports.com.
And go to the website. We have new merch up every day. The Stay Biased gear is all out for the Hash Sports.
The
summer
draft shirts are pretty sweet.
Draft shirts for football
clever.
Season. So those will all be up on the site. Use the promo code LOUD or NO VACANCY for 15% off. LOUD or NO VACANCY. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.
Who dat?
Cheers.